Last week, the Ohio State defensive linemen were purple people eaters.
Yes.
This week, the Buckeyes are hunting varmint.
Wow.
Those are two very current references to start off Snap Judgments on the first Woody Wednesday of October. I am joined by Letterman Rose, Spencer Holbrook. He is the one who coined the term. He had to change around the hyphenation of the purple people eaters.
Yeah.
So that's yours. I'm going to give you full credit for that.
Thank you.
And then, you know, it's a little Caddyshack because this defensive line, they're going hunting for golden gophers on homecoming on Saturday night. Are we off to a good start or what?
Yeah, we certainly are. It's interesting also that we use the Purple People Eaters reference the week before the Minnesota game because, you know, the Vikings from Minnesota.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, there's a lot of correlation there. But, yeah, this defensive line is up to something, I think. No matter what they're what you want to coin it, they're doing something.
Yeah, they're on fire. And we talked so much, Spencer, about, well, here comes Caden Curry, Caden McDonald. They're getting national awards. Kenyatta Jackson plays a great game. It's still like, what's going on with that fourth spot and the three tech and defensive tackle? And Ryan Day, you know, has talked so much about it. We've all said, well, Edric Houston's got to come along. He's got to tap into that potential. Ryan Day says Tywan Malone had his highest grade at Ohio State on Saturday at Minnesota as well. Had those three Minnesota. Now you got me all rattled. Was at Washington with those purple folks. Three tackles, highest grade. So the Buckeyes like what they're getting out of that position as well. So it's not just three out of the four. Buckeyes feeling pretty confident about those rushmen across the board.
Yeah, and Tywan Malone had a great play on Damon Williams on the first third down of the game that made sure that Washington had to punt away to Ohio State. So, like, it's not like he's playing poorly. It's just those three are so good that you kind of forget that there's a fourth guy. And maybe if it was the guy that we thought it was going to be all along, Edric Houston, we wouldn't be forgetting about him. But Tywan Malone feels almost in a lot of people's eyes like a throw-in right now. And then you add in also his very odd Pro Football Focus grade, which we don't put a ton of stock into, but it was oddly low considering even on the rewatch, like, oh, there's Tywan. Like, I forgot that he made that play. Yeah, he was in on that one too. Like, he could have had that sack if it wasn't Caden Curry or Caden McDonald's. Like, I thought he played really well, and then you see that grade, and that's interesting. So for Ryan Day to kind of validate what we saw, and not just what the PFF number said, but, like, Ryan Day saw a champion grade. And so I think you're seeing that from him, and he's getting a lot of confidence. He's building. And obviously, I still think they need Edric Houston to come along. But, man, like, in the meantime, while he's going through whatever he is, and they're going to continue to lift him, you know, through that, Tywan Malone's playing pretty well, and it's not going to hurt to have five guys that you trust.
Yeah, you know how I love to pay attention to who some of the last guys off the practice field are every Wednesday night that we're in here. And Edric Houston was among them, one of the last five guys to leave. So he's trying to get in that extra work. And I think there is still a legitimate case to be made for Ohio State that its highest ceiling is with that five-star potential for Edric Houston out there. But it is not, to your point, Tywan Malone is just out there by default. Somebody's got to do it. I don't know that the first couple of weeks were all that impressive when he's coming off the bench. And you could see that, or at least it felt like Ohio State's opponents, like, well, if 95 is out there, let's take our shot right there. And I know that Texas did in week one. But, you know, I was talking with him before he sat down at the microphone. It's like, well, you know, you're going to have to keep doing media if you keep making plays like you did on Saturday. And if you don't want to, you have to stop. I can't do that. This has been a long time coming. And I think you could tell there's been a lot of, like, you know, I don't know if you can see the relief, some of the weight coming off of his shoulders, because this is not just like year one, year two. Like, this is 3 years of growth and development to try and get out there. And he wants to maximize. He wants to be out there making plays for Ohio State. This was a long time discussion with him and Larry Johnson. And, you know, whatever it is that's clicking for him, I don't know if it's easy for anybody in this building to put a finger on what it is. This is what we were saying in the offseason. Someone's got to take the next step and help out on this Ohio State defensive line, and Tywan Malone's doing that.
I think one of the interesting things about Tywan is he did the baseball thing, and that's fine. Like, he wanted to explore that. He won a national championship ring at Ole Miss. He did what he wanted to do there, and then he decided to focus on football. Well, if you think about him as a third-year recruit as a former top 100, if this was 2 years ago and he was just a third-year guy, you're probably saying, man, his third year, he's really starting to come along, and this is nice. A lot of times when we think about guys at Ohio State, if you're here for 5 years, you're probably not going to the NFL. If you're here for 5 years, this probably isn't for you because somebody's going to end up passing you at some point. I kind of start right now, I'm thinking of him more as a third-year guy than a fifth-year guy because, A, he's been at Ohio State for just 3 years, and, B, he's focused on football solely for 3 years. So, yeah, it is probably time for him to start making that push. And does it help him a little bit in a selfish way for him that Edric Houston's going through some struggles right now? Probably, because that means more playing time. But it also is doing nothing but helping this Ohio State defensive line. You have to think at some point, like I said earlier, Edric Houston's going to come to life in that defensive line room. And then you're talking about, hey, 95's out there. That's a good thing. Or 96 is out there. He's fresh. That's also a great thing. So I'm starting to think of Taiwan as like a junior instead of a fifth year senior who, you know, is a guy who's been a developmental piece.
No, I think that's an interesting way to look at that. I think you're right about that. And it's certainly fair compared to, you know, a fifth year version of Jayshon Cornell or, you know, multiple years for Tyleek Williams and Ty Hamilton to develop and fully unlock that. It doesn't happen overnight. The old coaching cliche about as close as you are to the football like that, you know, add an extra year to get on the field or make an impact the way you want, whatever it is. I mean, Taiwan Malone is doing it now. He was among a handful of Buckeyes to talk after practice on Wednesday night. We had Ryan Day, Austin Sarveld, Luke Montgomery, Aaron Scott. Who else do we have, Spencer? Jaden Fielding, Jalen McClain. What stood out to you?
I really like talking to Luke Montgomery. I thought it was interesting. Saturday was actually his first road start. We don't think about that because he played in the neutral site national championship game and the neutral site Cotton Bowl and the Rose Bowl. And
neutral site Cotton Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, you know what I'm saying. The Tennessee game, he played in that, but he had never played in like a true road environment. And there he is out there Saturday doing the silent count for Ohio State and tapping Carson Hinsman to let him know, like, hey, we're ready to snap the football.
Yeah.
That is a massive responsibility for a guy in his first true road start. And I think it got a little overlooked that they handled that whole operation so well. You know, barely any false starts. The false start they did have on Tegra Shibola wasn't even really about the crowd noise or the silent count or anything like that. I think it was just a stumble in the stance.
Yep.
And so to have that go as cleanly as it did, no wonder they Carson Hinsman and Luke Montgomery won the offensive players of the game. Like, it was so clean. And then you look at the praise that Luke's getting from some social media, you know, ball knowers, from some people who studied the offensive line and understand what he's actually doing in there right now. You're seeing a guy who is gaining confidence, gaining experience, and gaining a lot of respect from in the Ohio State locker room. And I think it's all coming together for him. I never forget to think back to Ryan Day's comment about Luke Montgomery last year, where he said it was at the beginning of the year.
Yep.
We're talking, is he going to play guard? Is he going to play tackle? He's going to be a backup this year. He said, we know that everything we invest in Luke Montgomery, we will get back.
100%.
And, man, they are getting a lot back from him in year three.
Yeah. It's tough, right? Because we want to discredit the PFF grade for Taiwan Malone, and then they're also saying, well, Carson Hinsman's the best center in the country.
Yeah.
Hey, we get to pick and choose of which one we believe.
Pick your spots.
You always have to take it with a grain of salt. But I do think that it's not hard to see what's going on with Carson Hinsman and, you know, the next step forward for Luke Montgomery. Because to take it back to what you're talking about with a different perspective on how long somebody's been in the program, how much experience they have, Saturday is a great example, as you mentioned, for Luke Montgomery in a first road situation. It's really less than a full season that he's been out there as a starter. Overall, now it was broken up, and those games in the playoff were critically important, and those were high leverage snaps, and he showed what he can do. And then now you just sort of like expect that he's going to be a finished product because, well, he followed that up and he started against Texas, and we all know that the protection was good for that. And you see all these other, you know, him getting pancake blocks and celebrating and talking trash and leading the energy for Ohio State. It's like, well, he must have been here forever. And it's, you know, 2+ seasons of development, but not fully formed in terms of in-game potential. So he's still unlocking that. And I think as you're looking forward to Saturday at Minnesota or what this entire Saturday against Minnesota or what this entire month looks like for the Buckeyes, it's like they are still growing. They've played so well through the first four games. And you can look at every position, whether that's Julian Sain, whether that is the offensive line with Luke Montgomery getting more starts under his belt, or what we're talking about with Taiwan Malone, or what that could look like with Edric Houston, or Aaron Scott making plays on special teams and potentially getting out there in the corner job or nickel or however that's going to look. Like, there's still more room for this team to grow, which should be a pretty scary thought.
It looks like there's a lot of untapped potential. If we just take it, you know, across the offensive line, Austin Sarveld will be starting his fifth career game at left tackle on Saturday. Luke Montgomery
didn't even name that one.
Yeah, Luke Montgomery will be starting, I think, his sixth or seventh career game at left guard. You know, Carson Hinsman obviously is his own story and things like that. And Tegra Shibola has some experience. But Philip Daniels, this will be his eighth career start.
Yeah.
And then you look across this defense, Jalen McClain, fifth career start. Aaron Scott has only played special teams for this team. And Lorenzo Styles has really not played a lot in the nickel, but he looks pretty good so far this season, running the alley, getting tackles behind the line of scrimmage. Like, a lot of these guys that are playing critical roles already are not experienced, and it's only going to continue to grow.
Yeah.
And I think that's what, again, the word scary comes up, but I think it is really natural for a lot of these guys to go through some things. And so the fact that they've been so buttoned up through four games has been even more impressive, because you should only expect to gain more confidence, more experience, more, you know, hey, I did this in this game. I know what I'm doing now. I saw this combo, you know, speed rush from this guy. All of those things come with experience. This team still doesn't have a ton of experience, and they're only going to continue to get more. And like you said, that should be very scary.
That really struck me tonight, Spencer, just the specific players that we're talking to. Like, Tywan Malone is making plays and he's on the rise. And it's like, well, you hope that that happens if you're Ohio State, or if you're Larry Johnson, you're Matt Patricia, you're seeing it happen as he gets, you know, more comfortable being on the field. He had been working plenty on the practice field over the previous couple of years, but it's not like Tyleek Williams and Ty Hamilton were leaving a ton of other reps for anybody, including Caden McDonald. So, you know, everybody that was at one of those tables, I think pretty much tonight, you know, talking about Austin Saraval, Jalen McClain, Aaron Scott down the road, like, those guys are just getting started in terms of full-time, you know, snap in, snap out, game in, game out, week in, week out reps for the Buckeyes. So, you know, this stretch here is critical for, you know, you only get the one home game in 6 weeks, which is kind of nuts, against the Gophers on Saturday night. And then you have two more road games after this. This stretch, I think, is going to, you'd like to think at the end it's going to pay massive dividends, but it's still a learning process for them.
Yeah.
But they seem to be working through it pretty well.
Yeah, and you've only got 4 weeks until you play Penn State. So if you're going to work through anything, or if you're going to hit any snags, it better happen in the next 3 weeks, because I know we're not crazy about that Penn State team, but, you know, that is a really good football team, and you're not trying to get –
I think they have good players. I think they're pretty poorly coached.
Yeah, you're not trying to get ahead of yourself by looking forward to November 1st, but you're also understanding, like, hey, you know, we've got to see some building blocks against Minnesota that we can take on the road with us to Illinois. We've got to make sure that we're buttoned up and avoid an upset at Illinois so we can take it and play Wisconsin, which we all know kind of what the deal is there at this point. But you are trying to steadily climb and learn some things about yourself while also understanding, like, hey, there's a couple things in the middle of this that you've really got to be ready for.
Yeah.
And so I think this is a huge week, not just for, hey, you know, it's a Nike in the shoe. You get your only home game, like you said, in 6 weeks. But, like, hey, we got to see something here. You got to see a step from Julian Sain. You've got to see a step from Medrick Houston. I think it's a critical week for 96. This is a big week for, you know, the right side of that offensive line, making sure that they're living up to what the left side is doing, because I think the left is a little bit ahead of them right now. So, like, everything that Minnesota is not and will not show about the Buckeyes, I think the Buckeyes can show about themselves on Saturday night. And I truly think this is, like, one of the most critical games of the year, because you have to show a lot to know that you're ready for Illinois and Penn State here in the next few weeks after that.
I think that always we have a rule on Snap Judgments and on the Austin and Burm Show: when Ryan Day is talking into a live microphone, you listen and you pay attention. And if there's ever a time that he answers a question and then he says, hold on a second, I got a little bit more to say, you definitely better be paying full attention to that. And so if there was any chance, and this is what I think Ryan Day is on alert for, a chance of, okay, you accomplished something on the road, you hyped up the matchup with Washington, ooh, you're home for homecoming, and then you got a night game, you might get comfortable. No complacency. You need to be the hungriest and most desperate. Those are the words, right? Yeah. Hungriest and most desperate team in the country every single day. That was circled back. Ryan Day, no accidents, and that was reiterated. And if you didn't pay attention to that, and you don't think that was the message right over there about an hour ago to the Buckeyes, you're very off base.
He even used a pseudo swear word tonight, which he never does, talking about how ticked off this team needs to be, just because, you know, he really wants some intensity. He's talking about thinking back to when they were fighting each other in spring and he had to stop practice. And I think that's what he's trying to bring out of this team this week. Like, hey, you have not done anything yet. And, you know, after Saturday, he got asked about the historic pace that this defense is on. He's like, I do not care. I could not care. You know, he did not want to talk about that at all. We're nowhere near where they need to be. You know, now he's talking about being desperate and hungry. And somebody even asked him tonight, like, how do you get that from the reigning national champions? And he said, it's a mindset. If you don't have it, you know,
you're in the wrong spot.
Yeah. You're not welcome here almost. Yeah. And he didn't say that, but you almost get the sense of, like, they only want those guys who are completely, like, nasty, desperate to win, desperate to be just on the practice field for one more day to get that extra rep.
Yeah.
It's a great message in a message, but it has to hit. And I think that's one thing that he's trying to just drive home right now with this team is, like, if you think you've done anything, you haven't. And so you need to take it to another level.
Yeah. I think we'll be able to tell what that level of buy-in is on Saturday night, 7:30 NBC in the Horseshoe, which again is right over there. You can't miss it. Happy birthday to Jeremy Birmingham. That is why he's not on Snap Judgment. Thank you very much to Spencer Holbrook. You can get all of his work at Letterman Row. I believe, is there a special going on right now, or just come hang out?
$1 for 7 days. And so you get through the Minnesota game, and then you get to half of the road trip to Illinois, and then we can just talk about pricing after that.
That's all right. Well, we will. and then you can talk to all of us, including Mick Walker on the board over there at Letterman Row. It's fun. Come hang out. It's the place to be.
It is. We call it the Letterman Lounge for a reason.
Yeah. It's fun, and it's a casual joint. Just like some other places that we
Synergy.
Know. But this right here, this was Snap Judgments. You could get that on 97.1 The Fan, their YouTube channel, 10TV, 10TV Plus, Apple, Spotify, anywhere you get podcasts. Download, like, subscribe, do all of it. We appreciate you for watching and listening. I appreciate Spencer Holbrook for filling in for Berm on his birthday. I am merely Austin Ward. We'll be back again with The Beat on Thursday. It's 1, 2, 3 thoughts when we get back there tomorrow. We'll see you there.
Happy birthday, Berm.